2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And so I was praying about what to preach to you guys in these last few weeks that I'm here with you. And so just praying what it is I want to leave you guys with. And so as I prayed and reflected, I was on this. I was like, man, I just want you guys to grow in your faith. I just want you guys to grow in your faith. I want you to discover the wonder and the love and the grace and the beauty of Jesus in your lives, and to live for him and to center your life around him. And I want you to know that he is the source of everything, man, how he is wonderful, more wonderful than anything, more beautiful than anything, more loving than anything, and more perfect than anything in your lives. And so for the next couple of weeks, this is what we're going to be talking about. And if there's anything I'd want you to remember and take home with you, this is it. And I pray that I'll be able to say and articulate everything that I want to say and allow the Holy Spirit to go in and kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. But this morning, we're going to walk through this particular passage in 2 Peter, and in which Peter is trying to do something similar. And he's writing to a particular church community, and he's saying, this is what I want you to remember about my teaching. This is what I want you to remember, what I want you to remember. This is what I want to leave with you. It's kind of a farewell sermon for Peter, from Peter. But what is it that Peter is talking about here? What does he want his church to remember about his teaching? It's this, that the basis for Christian living, that the basis for Christian growth, how we live, how we grow, is in what God did in Christ for us. This is what he's basically saying in our passage. But why even talk about this at all? Well, because for a lot of us, we want to grow in our faith. We want to grow in our relationship with Jesus. But for a lot of us, maybe we don't feel like we're growing. We've been Christians for a long time, but we actually haven't seen that much growth. And this is serious. And this is serious business. So we're going to talk about a little bit about this morning, kind of set the foundation a little bit. So we're going to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. And it's printed on your bulletin, on page 3 in your bulletin as well, but you can follow along on the screen. But please keep a finger on that as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted that he is blind, is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us this morning. And I just pray for my friends here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that if any of us are in sort of this rut, we've reached this plateau in our lives. We feel dry. We're not growing. And I pray that you would remind us this morning, what is the source of all our growth? I pray that Jesus, you would be our source. I would pray that we would remember, Jesus, who you are and what you did for us. That it would hit home for us. That it would hit us right in the heart how much you love us and how much you gave to us. I pray that we would strive, that we would seek, that we would want to grow, that we would not get so comfortable in our lives that we would stop seeking, that we would stop pursuing. So, Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room, for me, Jesus, that we would just continue to grow and to progress and to mature and to be sanctified and become more holy and to grow into the men and women that you long for us to be. So, Lord, speak to us this morning by your Spirit. I pray that you'd fill us with more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Second Peter is a kind of an interesting book. It's a letter. It's a letter, but we're not exactly sure who it's written to because there's nothing that's indicated here in this text who Peter was writing to. Commentators tend to believe that it's written to churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, like many of Paul's writings. It's written by Paul the Apostle, or as many scholars suggest, is someone who's writing in the name of Peter the Apostle, which is another story altogether. But that doesn't really matter to our situation, what we're going to be talking about. The situation in the letter was that some of the people in this church community had converted from paganism and were starting to challenge traditional Christian beliefs and behavior. Right, so some of the new Christians that were in this church that Peter is addressing here were converts from paganism, right? And they're bringing this baggage with them, and now they're starting to challenge what they believed in, what they've been taught. How? Well, one of the ways that they were being challenged, or one of the ways they were challenging, was that they were growing impatient with this whole idea of the second coming of Jesus. And so they were saying, you know what, it hasn't happened in these last 10, 20 years, so it's probably not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so they're teaching this. They're influencing the church that Peter was addressing. So even back then, there was some doubt as to whether Jesus would return or not, right? Right? And imagine this, 2,000 years later, right now, and he still hasn't returned yet, right? But what's up with that, right? What's up with that? If they're doubting back then, just a few decades after Jesus said he would come back, waiting for him to come back, what about now? I mean, we should have way more reason to doubt, wouldn't we? And so many of us do. Many of us do doubt. Many of us do question. So what does 2 Peter say we ought to do? How do you combat this doubt? What do you do to keep from doubting? You grow. You progress. He says you got to work to grow. You got to strive for it. He says be diligent to make your calling and election sure. So what is Christian growth? What is this all about? How do we grow? I'm going to talk about three things this morning. Three things I want to point out to you this morning. We're going to talk about the heart of Christian growth. We're going to talk about the process of Christian growth. We're going to talk about the necessity of Christian growth. Okay, we're just kind of laying a foundation for this, why we grow, how we grow, and why we need it. Okay, so first of all, the heart of Christian growth, right? The foundation of our growth is this. His power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, if we want to grow in our faith, if we want to grow in our Christianity, it has to be rooted in and dependent on God's grace. Right? Because first, it's His power, it's His work, it's His strength, it's His grace, right? And a lot of times when we talk about Christian growth, we talk about it in terms of, man, how is the church helping me grow? How is my pastor helping me grow? What are my mentors, my teachers helping me to grow? What are they doing to help me grow? What are they doing to help me grow in my faith? And so sometimes what happens is we feel like we're not growing. We tend to look outside of us. We look to these external factors, right? We say, I'm not growing because my church isn't meeting my needs. I'm not being fed. I don't feel like I'm learning anything new. And the truth of it is, right, the truth of the matter is, I mean, the church does have the responsibility to build a community in which we can discover Jesus and learn about his scripture and learn about theology. But that's not the heart of our growth. We don't grow because of the church. We grow with the church. We don't grow by improving our programs or our teaching. I mean, that can only take us so far. What 2 Peter tells us, though, is that the heart of our growth as Christians is Jesus. Jesus is the heart of our growth as Christians, not the church. It's Jesus' divine power that has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. It's by Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection that God calls us to be Christians, right? He's given us everything we need to live and to lead a godly life. So if Jesus isn't at the heart of your life, you can't really expect to grow, can you? If you haven't experienced forgiveness of sin and this change in your spirit because of what God did through Jesus to save you, you can't really experience this kind of spiritual growth, can you? It's only as we come to know his power that he has granted us that we're able to grow. If you've never actually repented of your sin, if you've never actually experienced this kind of renewal, then it's going to be pretty hard for you to grow. So if you say you're a Christian, but you aren't connected to Jesus and his divine nature, you've never actually said, man, I receive your salvation. I accept what you did on the cross for me. That you are my only hope between me and God. But then on top of that, you also say, Jesus, you're my king, you're my Lord, I'm going to live for you, I'm going to submit my life to you. I mean, if you never said that, I mean, this is the very essence of the gospel. You respond to his call on your life by saying, both Jesus, you are my Savior, and at the same time you say, you are my Lord and you're my king. You say both, I accept your gift, but at the same time you say, my life is yours. The thing is, have you actually done this in your life? You've gone to church for years and years and years since you were born, but you've never actually done this. You've never actually committed to this. Don't take it for granted that just because you've gone to church your whole life that you are saved. Until you can honestly say that God is connected with your heart somehow, that his spirit has connected with your spirit in this way, you'll never grow in the faith that you think you ought to grow. All of the best churches, all the best programs can only take you so far. If you really want to grow in your faith, if you really want to experience true growth, man, it's only by God's grace and it's only by his divine power in you that will help you flourish. So that's the heart of Christian growth, Jesus, right? Verse 5 tells us this next. In the process of Christian growth, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, with knowledge, with self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Right, when it says here in 2 Peter, for this very reason, he's saying that it's precisely the divine power that's in you that we're able to grow, that we're saying. As Christians, we should try to please God, not in order to get in his good books, but because we are already in his good books. Because of what Jesus has done in our lives. Because Jesus has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. But here's where we come in, right? Here's where we come in. Christ has given us everything we need to be godly, but at the same time, we need to pursue it. We need to pursue godliness. We need to pursue this growth. These are things we ought to strive for. These are things we ought to be growing in our that ought to be growing in our lives, man. It's made possible because of Jesus' divine power in you that's released us from our sinful nature. It's allowed us to escape this. We can grow because of God's divine nature in our lives. He's given it to us. It's by His grace, by His work. And so if you have received the divine nature of Jesus in your lives, if you've experienced Him releasing you from the power of sin, man, it's got to change how you live somehow. There are ethical consequences to you becoming Christian. It has to change how you behave and live, right? Verse 8 tells us that, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if these qualities, if you possess these things, if you're increasing in your virtue and in your knowledge and your self-control and your love, you're on the right track. It tells us you're on the right track. Well, we're not going to go through all these qualities here, but let's take knowledge, for example. Many of you have a lot of questions about Christianity. Many of you have a lot of questions about the Bible. Some of us might even have doubts about some of the things we're taught, some of the things that Scripture tells us. But know this, your doubts right now are part of this process of growing in grace. In a lot of ways, it's a good thing to question what we understand about our faith. Because it shows you that you're actually engaging your faith, you're reflecting on it, you're thinking about it. But oftentimes when we doubt, when we question, when we wrestle, when we grapple with some of the difficult questions that we have about our faith, we come out at the end of it with our faith strengthened and oftentimes renewed. So it's a good thing to ask questions. It's a fantastic thing to ask questions. But here's the thing. Where do you go when you ask questions? Do you read? Do you study the Word? Do you talk to people who are more knowledgeable about Scripture? Are you praying and asking for more knowledge and wisdom? Are you praying for God to highlight and to help you to understand? Do you go to people who maybe thought about these things longer than you have? Or do you just kind of let your questions brew in your mind until you just kind of give up because you can't figure it out on your own? Sometimes I feel like that nowadays, there's folks here that like to ask questions just because they like to ask a question. Maybe we're not as interested in hearing an answer as we are about just simply asking questions. Or maybe we're just only interested in answers that sound good to us rather than actually wanting to hear truth. It's one thing to have questions, but it's another thing complete to actually pursue and seek out knowledge and truth of Jesus. And listen to me. Are you growing in your knowledge? And are you actively seeking and pursuing knowledge of Jesus? Or are you just kind of letting it come to you? You come to Sunday school or worship to hear me talk, and you go to Sunday school to see what the teacher has to say, and hopefully, maybe the teacher has something to say that might stick with you. We'll see. Are you growing in your virtue? Are you seeking out to be more pure, to have more freedom from the sins that you struggle with now? Are you growing in your self-control? Are you becoming more loving? Are you loving God more and more? Are you loving people more and more? It's a process, man. It's gradual. It doesn't happen right away for most of us. We grow into this. And this is why Paul describes some Christians as babies and others as mature, right? There's this process. There are seasons in our lives where we might feel like we're on fire and there's nothing we think about than God. We're growing, and other times we just feel like we're in a rut. We have no idea. We're confused. We're in this wilderness, a desert place. But this is the journey we're on. This is life. Sometimes we go through these dry spells. We go through times when we feel He's not near. Why don't I feel like I used to feel about God? Why does He seem so far away? And the answer often is, man, He actually wants you to get closer in these times. He's trying to draw you closer. He wants you to really trust and lean on Him. And actually, whether you knew it or not, you weren't actually doing that before. You weren't actually depending on God. You were relying on your own wisdom. You're trusting in your own experience, your own understanding. But suddenly you get to a place where all of that suddenly dries up and you don't know what to do. You've never experienced this before. You don't understand it. Sometimes God will put you through the paces. Sometimes God will put you through these times so that you have to believe what he says. So that you have to lean on him. Sometimes you get to a point where you realize that you can't get out of your whatever situation you're in without his grace. Maybe you ask, why, God? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to experience this? What is God doing here? He's saying, I want you to grow up. I'm trying to grow you. I'm trying to mature you. And as you mature and as you grow, whenever you find yourself in a situation where God is trying to refine you, instead of asking, why am I going through this? You'll begin to ask, okay, Lord, what is it you want to show me? There's a switch there. There's a change there. When you, let's put it this way, when you exercise or when you work out, in order for this exercise or working out to strengthen your body, it's got to hurt a bit, right? You got to feel the burn, right? When I'm cycling, I have this heart rate monitor that goes around my chest. It tells me the particular heart rate zone that I have to be in riding in to actually build up my endurance and strength in the long run. And so if you ride for a while in that zone, it's going to hurt, right? It's going to feel like suffering. Sometimes in order to gain long-term strength, you need to go through the pressure, to some pressure in the short term. It might hurt a little bit in the short term. But when you first start working out, when you're first just starting off, that hurt you feel, it's kind of like, sometimes you're like, man, why do I have to go through this? Why am I putting myself through all this pain? For many of us, it's like, this isn't worth it, and maybe we'll give up. But if you stick with it, as you get going, after a while, you feel yourself getting stronger. You feel gains, right? You realize it's just part of the process. Listen, are you growing? Are you growing? There's so many ways you can fake your way through this. You can put on a front and pretend that everything's okay on the outside, but on the inside you're hurting, you're broken, you're lost. Even in the church, man, you can fake being a Christian by serving more, by attending more Bible studies, by coming to church more regularly. Sometimes we judge a person's faith only by how faith. Sometimes we judge a person's faith only by seeing how, by this criteria, by seeing how they're doing like this. Sometimes we think that, like, the busier someone is at church, we think the stronger their faith is. And so, even in the church, it's so easy to fake this. But the question I want to ask you is like, are you becoming more loving? Are you growing in your self-control? Do you feel like you're more godly and more knowledgeable about Jesus and Scripture than you were a year ago, 2 years ago? Do you feel your affections for your brothers and sisters growing and it's coming out in tangible ways? You're demonstrating your love for people in real ways. You can't fake these things. These are the things that you can't fake. This is the criteria we should be using. That's how we could tell if someone is growing, if we have these things and we're adding to it. That's how we know we're on the right track. My biggest fear is that in this room, there are those of us who say we're Christians, but we're not actually saved. That you come taking it for granted, that just because you've been coming to church for years, that you've got a real and living faith in that Jesus has saved you, that we're okay just because you showed up, because your parents are Christians. If our lives has collided with the grace of God at some point, it has to show up. It has to show up in you being changed and transformed and you growing in your faith. It has to. You have to be growing somehow. And like I said, sometimes we hit these ruts. Sometimes we hit these plateaus. But it's the trajectory of your life growing on an upward path. Because according to 2 Peter, it's not an option. It's not optional for you to have to grow in these qualities, in these things. It says right here that if you have these qualities and they're growing, it'll keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if you don't have them, it says you're so nearsighted that you're blind. It says you've forgotten that you've been forgiven of your past sins. Growing in grace is absolutely necessary. It's not an option. Jesus has given us everything we need to be godly, but we still need to pursue it, guys. We still need to pursue it. If you've been called by the grace of God, it's got to have consequences that are going to be played out in our attitudes and behaviors, how we act. Are you growing in your faith right now? And if you're not, what is it that's keeping you from growing? Maybe it's because you've never actually experienced God's grace before in your life. You've never said, I want this for me. Maybe you've never actually responded to God calling you. You've never said, I want you to change my life. I want you to help me escape from my sinful heart. I want you to change me, to save me. I want to give myself to you, Jesus, just like you did for me. I want you to be my Lord and King. Look, are you growing in these qualities? I mean, are you seeking these out? It says that if you do, you'll never fall. You'll never fall. Let's pray.